love. We're talking currently this about where is the love. And the first Sunday, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Jaco spoke on love is to go. And last week I shared a bit on love is to know. And we encouraged you guys to read the Word and study the Word and to get to know God's character better and to really dig deep and to be excited about the person of God and who He is. And thank you for those who have sent me emails, Lionel. I mean, people in the church. I really, really value that. So there's two more to go, and hopefully God and through the Holy Spirit, He's also doing a work in our hearts as, I almost want to say, this puzzle gets completed. Today, this morning, we're going to share, or I'm going to share a little bit on love is to share. And that is something, you know, I guess we can all be so excited about. And, you know, it's also nice to share this morning, or this, actually, it will be tonight, in our Shofar Stellenbosch congregation. Pastor C.S. Leroux is the head pastor there. And we are celebrating 25 years of the church's basically existence there. I know Angus Bachen will be also there tonight, and they're really expecting a lot of people, I think 4,000 or 5,000 people. And it's just a place of celebrating and saying, God, You are doing something in our midst. You are doing something through our lives. And I believe if there's a few cornerstones and a few foundational things that in us, for us as Shofar, that is really important, then is it's to have God's word written in our hearts, that we will have an excitement to share the good news, that we will be excited. And church, this morning, you know, I believe we can preach for Sunday after Sunday on this topic and share information and scripture. But this is a hard thing, okay? Most of you, those of you who had little children or maybe still have little children, you would know when they are really small, they come to us and they walk to us sometimes with a little toy and they want to show it to you. They just want to give it to you, and if you don't pay attention, they will tap on you or they will talk to you and they want you to see something. And then as the kids grow older and bigger, you know, they come from school or sports exercise and they tell, but Dad, I jumped far or high, or I scored a try or a goal, or I got good marks at school. And they are excited. They share those things with us. And for us as husbands and wives, you know, when something big happens in our lives, what do? I phone my wife, or she will phone me, and she will say, I guess what happened, or something happened in my life, and we share those things. We talk to each other about the things that is important to us, don't we? We, you know, there's an old saying, or especially in Afrikaans, you know, the things that the heart is full of, you know, those will be the things that will be on our tongues. Dit wat die hart van vol is, sal die mond van oorloop. Okay? That means just the things that dwell in our hearts, that's the things we really talk about. So, last week I shared a little bit, I spoke about Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, and basically Jesus coming in and calling the disciples, and He said, He will make them fishers of men. And I just said, you know, I think they didn't have a clue what it was about, fishers of men. But basically, God the Father, from that place of His heart, He sent Jesus Christ on a mission to fish for men's hearts, okay? And we can say, praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for the amazing job that You did. Jesus had a mission. He was on that mission, and He did the wonderful job. He accomplished that mission, being obedient to the Father, spreading the good news. We saw the kingdom come in power, and, you know, as they always say, Jesus never wrote the book. Jesus wasn't a general in the army. He never fought any wars. He didn't have an earthly kingdom or anything like that. But today, we see the King is alive in our hearts, in our churches, okay? And I think, church, we will always miss it from a human perspective if we try and look at this mission Jesus was sent on. Because it came from the Father's heart. You can read with me in 1 Timothy, the first book of Timothy, chapter 2, verse 3 to 6. It says, this is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is only one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. And that is the heart behind the mission of Jesus Christ, the mission of the good news, that Jesus came to set the captives free. He came to brought healing in our lives, in our hearts. And God is so faithful in doing that. As a church, you can go and walk there and talk to people that's been for a long time in the church. There's testimonies. There's stuff that we can testify about. This is not just the history we are sharing. But we need to stand still for a moment and just appreciate a little bit when God the Father says, people, it's my heart that every one of you came to the knowledge of truth. Okay? Not just certain nations, not just male or female, not just Jew or Greek or just certain people, but all of you. That's his heart. No matter how sinful you are, how far you are from God, okay, it's his heart. It is his heart that says, I want all men reconciled with me. I want to know you. No matter how what your life looks like this morning, I want a relationship with you. Come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay. We see it in that famous John 3:16 also that Jesus says, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in would not perish and have eternal life. I believe that's a verse that carried many people through dark times. But we see God's heart in that. And that's the heart that he imparts to his church as well. That we as a church, God forbid, in a sense, that we will not walk around and say, I want to evangelize to you, but not to you. I want to speak to you, but not to you. God has sent us to the nations. Okay? And as for us, Shofar Christian Church, you know, our missional statement says, we want to reach the nations and the generations by making disciples, raising leaders, and planting churches. That's why it's special on a day like today, where we know tonight there where God planted our first church, it was a God thing, all honor to him, where he started that. And he said, I'm going to use you, church, I'm going to use you as a vehicle to spread the good news, to preach the gospel, to share with the world what my heart is. My heart is that you come closer to me through Jesus Christ and his ministry. So, you need to go back a little bit to last week. Love is to know where we need to equip ourselves. And the better I believe you know God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the more we know the Trinity, the more we have to share. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But it is also impossible to have faith in God without knowing the character of God. And the more we know the character of God, the more faith we can have in God, because he's so trustworthy. Amen. It's a good place to say amen. Faith is belief in God's promises, which in turn is grounded in his character. Okay? Sometimes I've heard people say, but God is far and distant and he doesn't want us to know him. But that's a lie. That's not the truth. We don't just know about God. We know God. We know him through Jesus Christ. We know him through the Holy Spirit. We know him through Romans chapter 1, the created things. That's why Paul says, listen, look at the earth and the sky and the sun. You've got no excuse. Through the life of Jesus Christ. What will we share about God if we don't know the character of God? There's four things I want to share how God has primarily revealed himself. And that is through his actions. It's one of them. God shows who he is in what he does. And that can be fearful. It can be wonderful. It's different things, different ways. I've put it there up on the screen as well. God opened the Red Sea. We know that God is a God of miracles. But God is also a God who said, Joseph, I will walk with you. Even though you are in jail, I've got a plan with your life. It doesn't feel good. It smells good. There where he was, there in Egypt, in jail. Okay? It was tough. But God said, I've got a plan for you. We look at Abraham and Isaac. And God revealed himself by intervening. on 99 and said, I will save this boy. I've got a plan with this bloodline. We look at the flood and so many other things, actions that God, we look of at Sodom and Gomorrah, not Gomorrah, that is missing from the map today, okay? Because God said, enough is enough. I'm intervening now. And the same as I said with the flood. Those are things God did, actions that God took. You can go now. There's an invitation once again for you to come and do Bible school where you will learn about the names of God. You know, in the English language, we talk about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and in Afrikaans, God. Né? But in the Hebrew language, there's so many different names that describe the character of God, where we can see something that Jehovah Jireh, that God is a provider, etc. You can go and study this. There's quite a lot of them. Different revelations that God gives about himself and who he is. We see in scripture different images about God. God presents himself as a father to us. He presents himself as a king to us. He presents himself as a consuming fire to us. But he also says, I'm a shepherd. I'm a shepherd that loves my sheep. I will walk with them. I will walk in front of them. He also says, I am the potter and you are the clay, that I will form you. And this isn't a complete list. You can go and do a little bit more research. But as we page through the pages of scripture, God just shows us about sometimes his anger is burning, other times he's full of compassion. And we need to know who this amazing God is that we serve. We look at the attributes. His attributes are essential, his essential characteristics that make him who he is. His omnipresence, his goodness, his love, his mercy, his holiness, and his righteousness. Every one of those tells us a little bit about who God is. It's like peeling an onion. You will just discover more and more. But it's not just a far distant God that we know. I think three times in scripture, God says Abraham was his friend. We can know God. James, we see that God says, if you draw close to me, I will draw close to you. God wants to reveal himself. God wants to show himself. And church, I honestly believe that the more time we spend in his presence, whether it's worship or prayer, studying the word, interacting with believers, the more, the fuller my tank is, the more likely I am to preach the good news. The more likely I will be to share the gospel. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says, in Romans chapter 1, verse 15, he says, I am eager to preach the good news. I am eager to share the gospel with you guys. And then he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. And that is that step. Paul was so full of the Holy Spirit that he says, man, I can't wait to preach the gospel. I can't wait to share that with you. It's like, just think of your biggest hobby. The thing that really makes your heart beat faster, or person maybe. And then someone walks up to you and tell me about this sport. Tell me about hang gliding or paragliding, or tell me about fishing or surfing or swimming or athletics. Tell me what it's about. And usually when someone asks us about something that we really love, we can't stop talking. We're excited about that. And we need to be so excited. When someone says, so tell me about your God. Who is this God? Then you then can't just like give someone a website or refer them to church. Well, there's grace, I believe. But we want to engage, and I want to tell you the day that I came to Christ. The most powerful things that we can share is our testimonies. Every believer has got a testimony where we can talk about the old person and the new person. You saw the video clip for the men's camp. I mean, just look at the life of Stephen Lungu. He will probably share his testimony again, how he grew up and all the pain and the suffering and the hardship. That's not the same. That young man that he was, who just wanted to kill and blow people to pieces, that's not who he is anymore. But there was Jesus Christ coming into his life. We can testify about what happened in our lives. Times that we prayed for healing, times that we trusted God to provide for us. We can say, something that was impossible, we brought it before God. And because He's faithful and just and powerful, God intervened. We call that a miracle. That's part of God's character. We can share scripture, or we can talk about God's character. And those are the exciting things, the powerful things that we just need to look for an opportunity to share. But I believe that there's an integral part where when we are called, someone asks me and tell me, or say to me, talk to me about, let's say, ballet. That will be a good example. I can probably tell them, well, girls usually wear pink and they've got this little ballet shoes. I guess it's fun for them. Okay, there's not a lot I can tell about it. But if I ask some of the little girls in church that has got a passion for that, they will probably tell you how they love it and how they do it. I don't know a lot about that, so I can't share a lot on that. If my heart is cold and there's not a lot happening with me relationally, I believe we are less tempted. No, not tempted. We are less, what's the word I'm looking for? We are less encouraged or inclined to share the good news, to share the gospel, to talk to other people. You know, and the beautiful part is, the part that God does is, you know, we saw in Acts chapter 2 when Peter stood up there right after the day of Pentecost and he shared the good news, he preached. You know, we read it in Acts chapter 2 verse 37 and 38. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, that time when we get born again, when we walk into the kingdom, you know, I was one of those typical examples where I believe I got a few things wrong. I remember once Peter Pollock, Sean Pollock, the cricket player's dad, you know, he was preaching there, and he's already an older man. And he was sharing with us the good news. And at one stage, I remember, I first didn't understand it because I was a young believer myself. And he said, young believers sometimes need to be locked up for 2 years before they share the gospel, just to mature a little bit. Because there's your life. You're a young person maybe. You live in sin and doing a lot of wrong stuff, you know. And now you get radically born again. Okay, so what's the first thing you do? That's what I did. I walk to my sibling, to my sister, and I tell her, well, you are obviously not born again, so that means you're going to hell. You know, your life is full of sin. You need to come to Christ. But it's from a heart of being really excited, passionate about Jesus. Okay, I remember when I met my wife in 2005, she just got the year before that, she met Christ, she got radically born again, and on her car was the stickers that said God's girl, okay? She wear this t-shirts or shirts that she made herself or printed them herself, and on it stood God's girl. Now, I really like this girl, but I thought that there's way too much holiness. I couldn't even hold her hand, you know, because it's just God's girl all over. But that is called passion, and I believe when we come to Christ, there's a supernatural love that God gives us for Jesus, of course, for the church, for people, and the lost. And I've seen many young believers that are so excited to run with the good news that they sometimes can run to someone and say, hey, I'm now a Christian and I love the Lord and everything. And now you're just preaching doom and gloom to the poor person who haven't received that revelation yet. And now your family say you're in a sect and you're a Bible basher and whatever the case might be. But the most important thing is that we don't lose that flame. Sometimes after years, yeah, I'm a believer and yeah, I came to Christ and God is good and do you want to know something maybe? But the important thing is I can preach a lot of scripture to you this morning. But if the relational aspect isn't there, You're gonna have a hard time to be excited about the gospel, be excited about the good news. I spoke to my sister during the past week. She lives in Somerset West in Cape Town. And what do you know about the Cape Townians? They are really getting nervous right now. Why? Because water is running out. Water is life. Spoke to her Thursday morning and she said, in a few shops, after 9 o'clock in the morning, you can't find a 5-liter can of water. It's gone, sold out. She and her husband, the one morning, about 8 o'clock, it was his day off, they went for a coffee and there were still 3 shelves left of 5-liter cans. After coffee, it was gone. Dry shampoo, papierborde, baby wipes, it seems that those things are flying. So who of you are entrepreneurs in church? Bottle water, make papierborde and go and sell it in the Western Cape. There's an opportunity. But people are really worrying because the government said there in the Western Cape, on the 12th of April, it's day zero. We turn off the taps. It seems that the water is going to be gone. For many of us, that's a given. For many of us, water from a tap in our homes is something that we don't think of. We are spoiled. Maybe we are blessed. Maybe we are lucky. I don't know. But you know what? What will that first morning be like when the water is, the taps are closed? Time for a shower? Nope, no more shower. Now you need to make plans from a can or a bottle or a this or a that. What will it look like after a week or a month or two or three? I grew up in the Western Cape. Maybe the rains come in June or July, we won't know. But the moment it starts to rain, it doesn't mean there's going to be water in the taps. They're utilizing the last 10%, using technology to extract the last little bit of water right now. And when the dams are empty, they are empty. Then they need to fill up again. But you know, it's going to be a rude awakening for a lot of people. They talk about City of Cape Town will distribute water from 200 points, 4 million people, 200 points, 20,000 people per point. It's going to be chaos in many ways. Think of schools and many things. But there will be a morning if this thing continues and God doesn't supernaturally intervene. Whose fault it is? All the politicians and a lot of guys are fighting. There's a drought, of course. But what about that first morning, that first morning after the week or the month? But church, in a sense, this is worldly stuff. There will also be a morning or a day or an afternoon where Jesus is going to come back. He's going to come back. And it's going to be so much. Just think of that moment if Jesus Christ were to appear right now to us as the church, to civilization for that moment. Looking to the guy next to you and said, Jesus came back, told you so. I hope your heart is ready. Because that is what Scripture tells us. And we're a Bible-believing church. So I want to read to you 5 verses from the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 11 to 15. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in these books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they have done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Matthew chapter 24, verse 30 to 31. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And they will send out his angels, and he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. I think the danger exists even for the church, because the writers of the New Testament, the apostles, had this expectation that Jesus will come back soon. And because we live in time and we think 1 year or 5 or 20 is a long time, maybe 30 or 50 years is a long time. God lives outside of time. God is eternal. That is what Scripture says. That is part of His character. That's part of who He is. But the danger for the church even is that we will think just because Jesus didn't come in the past 2,000 years, He might take another 1,000 years. We don't know that hour or that moment. And I believe that every person that has came to Jesus Christ, every person who had that God encounter where your life radically changed and you came to Christ and you became born again and a new person, I believe that that joy and that desire is planted in our hearts to share the good news. What will the day after look like after Jesus came back? And I don't want to get into the different views on the rapture and all those things. I believe, because Scripture says so, that Jesus will come back. And there will be a time and there will be a moment where for a lot of us, it will be the moment of joy, seeing Jesus face to face. What a joy, Manfred. What a moment. Good friends of ours, they visited from South Africa a while ago. They were in Windhoek in church with us. And when they drove from South Africa to Walvis Bay, where they were on holiday, the lady or the wife, she asked God, Lord, just give us a sign that we will be safe as we travel this 2,000 kilometers. And after a few moments, she just looked outside of the window and she took a photo of a cloud. Now, and she showed it with us. I don't have words to explain it, but it's just shining with this light like glory. Okay, we know that the light can be sharp and have different things, but she asked for that and she took a picture, and it was just like, I don't have words to describe it. Just maybe God's faithfulness of saying, I will be with you. But He's also saying, I'm coming back for you. For a lot of people, Scripture says that will be a fearful moment. That will be a moment of where you're going to eat up that evolution book, maybe. Or all those fights where, yeah, God doesn't exist and those things. That there will be a moment like that. Okay. Church, we've got an opportunity this side of eternity before Jesus comes back to share the good news. And I really want to encourage you this morning. I really, really want to encourage you to share. And here's the reason why. Not all of us are daily leading people to Christ where they get born again. And in a sense, I want to say it's okay. I want to read to you from John chapter 4, verse 35 to 36. No, I don't want to read that. I actually want to read, that is just where it says the harvest is ready. It says, wake up, the harvest is ready. We know that part. Wake up, see it, the harvest is ready. You don't have to wait for the harvest season. It's ready all right now. What I actually want to read to you is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 to 9. Paul writing here, and he says, after all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believed the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers. And you are God's field. You are God's building. So I want to say to you, some of us plant seeds, some of us water. Many of us didn't come to Christ the first time we heard about the Lord. There were many preachers, pastors, etc., family members, omas and opas, people that prayed for your salvation, that stood in the gap, who stood in faith for my salvation and for your salvation. People who trusted God. But just as Paul writes there, he says, listen, some of you plant, some of you water, but God is using both. So I want to encourage you, even though you don't lead someone to Christ at that moment, try your best if that is what the Holy Spirit leads you. But whether you're doing a bit of watering and a bit of watering and a bit of watering, sometime that person will come to Christ. But that's God's business, okay? Because God says He brings, the Word says that God brings the increase. So I just want to encourage you this morning, even in your small, maybe an act of love, a hug here or there, or whatever you feel is suitable for you at that stage, do it. Sow that seed of love, okay? This morning we are talking about sharing. Love is to share. So sharing is loving and loving is sharing. Share that little bit. Don't hold it back and think, I'm too afraid, or maybe it's not time, or maybe I'll offend someone. Do that. Sow that seed. God is waiting for us. The harvest is ready. On the 28th of February 1989, my mom bought this Bible for me. R6.50. What a bargain. What a bargain. Ek het begin voortrekkers toe gaan. I went to the scouts. She bought it to me. She wrote my name and address there. I was young and probably read scripture here and there, but not a lot. You know, I was a child and my mom read Bible stories. My father came to our beds at night. He prayed for us, prayed for our family. And then my mom got sick. She got cancer. And she didn't write with a pen or something, but at that stage, she used this Bible. Now, there's a few pencil marks here and a few pencil marks there. But on the 4th of September, 1996, just a little bit in 2 months before she died, she writes someone's name in there. She wrote someone's name there. Ephesians chapter 3. Can I read it for you? I've got that. Just want to read the English translation. I just want to find it to you. Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 14. It's a prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I think she knew the end wasn't very far because her body was telling her that. She was sick. She was sick. And she wrote Rena Paul's name there, a friend of mine's mom. And I know that there were seeds that were sown in her life. I know the fact that she took a pen or a pencil and really very clearly demarked the scripture and wrote the date and the person's name there. I believe that lady gave the scripture to her. I know she went to Bible study and, yeah, I was still young. But you know, it must have been a moment that God was there. I remember there was one afternoon, I think it was a weekend, that the pastor came to our house. And only afterwards, my father said, you know, he shared with me and my sister that, you know, as my mom was laying there in her bed, she just felt someone took her hands so strongly. And that was close to the end. And I just believe that she cried out to God and that her salvation is okay. 24th of October, 2002. That afternoon, I gave my life to the Lord. But you know what? The guy was 6 months old in the Lord. He had a vision about my mom. And he didn't knew her, not at all. And it meant the world to me to know that I believe Jesus with God. It was so special to me. I just knew I was doing the right thing because there's no way that, how many, 6 years later, he didn't know my mom. We only got friends, became friends at university. Church, we need to get serious. There's a day that the water is going to run probably out in Cape Town and it's going to be a mess. But Jesus is also coming back. Scripture says so. Maybe when, I don't know. But we need to get serious. I can share scriptures and we can talk a lot and teach and do a lot of things. But it needs to be in our hearts. There's no way around it. Okay, we need to be serious about the gospel. And we need to ask God, because this is the picture I saw, and Quentin just brought a word and it was basically in line. There's all these things standing in our lives. The danger is that the good news becomes average news, even to the church. The church needs to be really excited about the good news. Now, I'm not going to lay hands on anyone. I'm not going to manipulate or anything like that. But I knew I came to Christ, and I know how my life has changed. And Stephen Lungu will share that in a men's camp, and I believe corporately we have got so many testimonies. The only way we can deal with death, or the thought of that even, is if we know Christ. That is where Paul says, death, where is your sting? And it's tough stuff. It's not easy stuff. It was the toughest time in my life when I saw my mom in 8 months' time dying of cancer. But I've got so much hope. I've got so much hope in Jesus Christ. And that is why I want to say with Paul, I'm eager to preach the gospel because it's the good news. Okay? It's the good news. I'm not ashamed of that good news. There will be a moment that Jesus comes back, and that will be the biggest moment probably in all of eternity. I don't know, compared to the cross, I believe all of them are big. But if you are not excited about Christ and about the good news, and you worry more about the water, what about the living water that Scripture talks about? Be that person. Paul says it doesn't matter. Some will sow, some will plant, some will water, but the harvest is ready. We are trying to talk about love and getting all of this together. This is the heart of it. This is the heart, the good news. Go and study God's character, see who he is and what he did. It's the first time I've shared it because it's so precious to me. God has got a plan, and he says his heart in eternity is that no one will get lost but come to the knowledge of the truth. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, we just want to make your name big this morning, Lord, and just declare, Lord, that you're amazing, Lord. And the moment we walk into your presence, Lord, that everything just changes. Father, I just want to thank you for salvation. That precious moment, Lord, when our whole world gets turned upside down in many ways. Father, I pray for us as a church that there will be a burning flame of passion and compassion and of love in our hearts. Lord, and from that place of our destinies, our place of walking into the kingdom of God, becoming part of the saints. Oh Lord, that it will motivate us to sow little seeds, whether it's to love or to hug or to share, to testify, to preach or to teach, to serve, Lord, that we will not hold it back from other person because it can change their lives for eternity. Lord, there will be a moment, Scripture says, that the book of life will be opened. A moment when the trumpet will be blown, that we will see you face to face. Something for us as the church and the bride to look forward to run towards, Lord, to be excited so much. But for many others, it will be a fearful moment. Lord, in the words of Reinhard Bonnke, he said, Lord, we should plunder hell and populate heaven. Might that be something that's burning in our hearts, Lord, that we can see your kingdom come, your will be done. Father, you've given a small little mandate for each and every one of us. No one can believe a lie and say, I am not called. God doesn't want to use me. I pray for hearts and lives to come into line with Scripture, with your Holy Spirit, that we will stay in step with the Word. And wherever there's an opportunity, Lord, that we can spread the love, that we can spread the good news, because it can change a life. We just give thanks and glory to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.